We're going to learn about a sicha of the Rebbe, a talk of the Rebbe on divine providence. And this talk of the Rebbe, even though it's not on the parsha of this week, it's Parshas Koirach, it presents different opinions around our sages, at least a few perspectives on different opinions of our sages regarding how God supervises the world. The good people, the wicked people, the Jews, the non-Jews. And the talk is going to go around two subjects. Subject number one is the story of Moshe and Koirach, which I'm not going to explain all the details. I'm basing myself on the fact that I expect you read the paper, whatever, the article I sent you. And again, I'm just going to quote very few ideas of the story of Moshe and Koirach, or the rebellion of Koirach. I'm not explaining that now. And the most of the class is going to go around these three sages. Let's call them this way. The Rambam, the Baal Shem Tov, and the Mitra Rebbe. The Rambam lived in Spain in the year 1000. The Baal Shem Tov lived in Poland and in Ukraine in the end of 1600s and the beginning of 1700s. And the Mitra Rebbe lived in mid-1800s in Russia. And they all present ideas. Don't misunderstand me. It's not that they argued between them, because of course they did not know each other. And it's not that they wrote books on this particular subject and therefore one argues with the book that the other one wrote. No. Except for the Rambam, the Baal Shem Tov did not write anything, basically. Only his students conveyed his teachings, and the Mitra Rebbe wrote a lot, really, believe me, a lot, but not necessarily arguing or explaining, not the Baal Shem Tov, not the Rambam. Wrote Hasidic discourses, very deep and long Hasidic discourses. He used to talk for hours and hours, believe me, like 10 hours on a row, blah, 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 explaining. What we are going to see is from different places on the books of the Rambam, the Guide for the Perplexed, Moreh Nevuchim, and the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, and the Mitra Rebbe is going to put together these two apparently arguing sages. Let's go. The only thing that I'm going to explain about Koirach and the rebellion and so on, because the whole talk of the Rebbe goes around this idea, is one verse and Rashi's commentary on this verse. The verse says, after the rebellion, Moshe already is praying to God. God wants to destroy and kill everybody and so on, all the rebels. And Moshe Rabbeinu says the following verse. Oh, Almighty, Lord of the spirits of all flesh. These words are very important. All flesh. When one person sins, that would be Koirach. Will you be wrathful with the whole community? Like everybody has to die because Koirach sinned? This is what Moshe Rabbeinu says. Now, with the words all flesh that I stressed, I'm not stressing the verse, with these words, Moshe Rabbeinu wants to explain, so to speak, or to make reference, no, you don't have to explain anything to God, to make reference that God knows everything from every single human being. This includes non-Jews also, and there's a Rogachov or whatever. He was called Yosef Ruzhin. He passed away in 1926. He was a brilliant sage out of this world, literally. He explains that basically God supervises all flesh. That means this includes non-Jews, clearly. Now, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu says. And Rashi explains, Moshe Rabbeinu, your nature, says Moshe to God, so to speak, bringing from the works of our sages. It's not that Rashi came up, so to speak, with this, whatever. Your nature, God's nature, is not like that of human beings. An earthly king against whom part of his country commits an offense, and these words are going to be important later, commits an offense, which is not the same thing as a sin, does not know who the sinner is. Like, who started? Who is the rotten apple over here? You have a whole bunch of apples, and one of them is rotten, and it's rotting the other ones. Which is the one that started the whole thing? That's the difference between commits an offense, like other rotten apples, or the one that started the whole thing, the sinner. So again, a king of flesh and blood doesn't know who started. And therefore, when he becomes angry, he exacts punishment from all of them. But you, continues Rashi saying, before you, all human thoughts lie open, and you know, these words are going to be important later, you know, God knows, who is the sinner. This is what Moshe said to God. You know, come on, why are you going to punish everybody? You know who started this. And God basically answered, continues the commentary of Rashi, you have spoken well. Like, I accept your words, said God. I know. So God recognizes to Moshe that he knows. And this is also important. I shall make known. I'll take care that everybody else knows who has sinned and who has not sinned. This is what Rashi says. Now, on this whole thing, again, I'm not going to read for you the text. You can read English and you probably understand better than me. And I'm just going to go through ideas that the text presents and I'll try to explain. There are two types of knowledge that God basically explained to us that he has. There's something called known. Known means there's no effort, so to speak, to go down and know something actively. Rather, everything is, in the words of our sages, revealed and known. Automatically, God knows everything automatically. There are other Hasidic discourses that explain exactly how this works. But the point over here is, God knows everything. Okay, he's not making any effort to know. And this type of knowledge is not inside each single creature. Rather, it transcends, so to speak, every single creature in the world, human beings, animals, plants, stones, doesn't make any difference. Everything is the same in front of God, and he knows everything, but again, in an automatic way. It's not that he makes an effort and so on. And therefore, since all the creatures are basically the same in front of him, and this includes human beings, and I'm saying human beings, Jews, non-Jews, everything is the same. After all, they're all creatures. A stone is also a creature. So God knows everything automatically, so you can't say, doesn't make sense to say that from this particular type of knowledge of God, that he knows the creation, come reward and punishment. No, because all the creatures are the same. A stone doesn't sin. I might sin because I'm a human being. Sometimes I do right things, sometimes I do not so right things. But a stone, what do you want? A dog, a cat? They don't sin. They're just whatever, what they are. So God knows everything in an automatic way. And then there's another type of knowledge. You know, going back a little bit, Rashi said, I know that God says, I know. Moshe said, you know. Yeah, I know. Okay, there's a different type of knowledge over here. God goes down, so to speak, into each one of his creatures. And of course, this includes everything, stones also. But the truth is, as I explained before, only human beings can, God forbid, sin. A stone doesn't sin, a plant doesn't sin, an animal doesn't sin. They just do whatever they're programmed to do. So God goes down into every single creature, in particular human beings, and he knows every single detail of every single creature. And again, depending on the level of the creature, God is going to be more, quote unquote, conscious of that creature. As I said before, a stone doesn't need so much of a involvement of godliness in order to know it. It's just a stone, doesn't even move, doesn't even grow. A plant grows, an animal moves. Okay, but human beings, we think and we talk and we do all kinds of things. So according to the type of creature, this knowledge is going to invest itself. It's going to go into the creature to know it, and therefore is going to apply reward or punishment. If it behaves properly, reward. If it doesn't, punishment. Because it makes a difference what kind of creature it is, what's the behavior of the creature. Regarding the first type of knowledge of God, doesn't make any difference. Everything is the same. Whether you behave, you don't behave, everything is the same. The second type of creatures, second type of knowledge, not everything is the same. There are people that behave properly. Okay, I'm going to give a reward. There are people that don't behave. Okay, I'm going to give a punishment. These are the two types of knowledge that the Rebbe brings in the talk. And with this, the Rebbe explains, basically, the types of divine providence, divine supervision that God has on the world. First of all, the Rambam. This is mentioned in Moed Nevuchim, in the Guide for the Perplexed of the Rambam. He says that there's a divine, particular, look at these two words, particular and general, two different things. There's a particular divine supervision, that means every single detail. In Hebrew, this is called Ashgacha Protis, Prat. Prat means a detail. Detail divine supervision, that it's according to how a person relates to God. If you, as a human being, now we're talking about human beings, if you behave as God wants, you follow the will of God, so God is going to take care, quote unquote, know you, supervise you in a particular way, detailed way. Every single detail of your life is going to be known, and known is not a good word because it gets confused with this. It's going to be supervised by God. Okay. However, if a person behaves as a wicked person, for whatever reason, the Rambam even calls them fools, like a fool person. So God says, you know what? I'm going to leave you. These are the words of the Rambam. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to hide my face, my countenance from you, and be well. Bye-bye. Whatever happens is not my problem, says God. It's your problem. A piano failing in your head while you were walking in the street, I'm so sorry for you. That's it. This is what the Rambam explains. Particular or detailed supervision. General supervision applies to everything else. And when a person behaves as a wicked person, he falls into the category of an animal, a plant, a stone. What difference does it make? Anyway, he's a wicked guy. So, bye-bye. So just as God does not, says the Rambam, does not supervise in a detailed way an animal, a plant, animals exist. Plants exist. I don't care about this particular plant. Doesn't make any difference. So the same thing happens with the wicked people. Doesn't make any difference. One more, one less. They're just left, given over to whatever happens in the world. Wars and pianos falling from the 10th floor or whatever. This is how the Rambam explains and understands divine providence. Interestingly, he's not the only one that says this, and many, many great sages followed his path. Even Mekubalim, even Kabbalists and so on, they also followed his path. But the Baal Shem Tov says, Hasidus, based on Kabbalah also, completely different idea. Absolutely different. There's a detailed, in particular, divine supervision of every single creature in the world. And this applies not just to human beings, this applies to everything. And the example given in Hasidic thought is, even a leaf falling in autumn and going in the wind one way and the other way, one side to the other side, and then following some place, that's also being supervised by God, and God is taking care, particularly that the leaf goes this way, and then it goes the other way, and so on. This is the classical example of this concept. And furthermore, comes out from the works, again, of Hasidus and the Baal Shem Tov and so on, the ideas based on the Baal Shem Tov, that not just God supervises in a detailed way everything, but everything is important in the plan of God for the whole creation. That means a butterfly, I'm using on purpose this example, a butterfly, whatever, flying in one part of the earth might produce a whole tornado in the different place of the world. Because every single thing is connected and every single thing is important. This is the key word over here. Why am I saying this? Because a person might ask himself, herself, for whatever reason, whatever difficulties and challenges a person has in life, am I important in the eyes of God? If you ask the Rambam is going to tell you, let me ask you a question. Do you behave properly? No, I, whatever. I'm just a, you know, a regular guy. I don't pay the bills, and I don't pay the taxes, and I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I like my neighbor's wife, and so on. So God is going to tell you, I'm sorry, but you're not important in my creation. You happen to exist. Okay, whatever. Maybe at some point in life you were important, but right now you're not. That's what the Rambam is going to answer you. You ask the same question to the Baal Shem Tov, and Baal Shem Tov is going to scream, yes! Definitely. Why do you think you're not? If you're alive, if you exist, it's because you're important in the eyes of God. And God is taking care of you, particularly in a detailed way, every single aspect of your life. That's what the Baal Shem Tov is going to say. Different ideas that come out of these concepts, that the creation actually, according to Kabbalah, Hasidus, and so on, it's an ongoing process. If you would say, I'm not saying that the Rambam doesn't agree to this, but the Rambam doesn't write about this. If you would say, as far as I know, if you would say that God created the world and he's just, whatever, doing something else, not actively involved in creation, so you might say perfectly, God says, I don't know about you, I don't care about you, whatever, you happen to be alive. And that's it. That's what the Rambam maybe would say. But if you ask the Baal Shem Tov, he would never say such a thing. Why not? Because God is actively working on creation, constantly talking, so to speak. The second part of Tanya talks about this a lot. The words of God being spoken all the time, giving life to creation and so on. And therefore, the second concept that comes out of this master plan of creation, that everything is important and so on, because God is constantly creating every single thing, and God doesn't create anything in vain. Second fundamental concept in Hasidus, in Hasidic thought, that from the Baal Shem Tov used to say, from everything you hear, everything you see, you have to learn a lesson in your service to God. What is God expecting from me now? Why is God presenting me with this circumstance, this issue, this, why am I talking to this person? Why is this person talking to me? Why? All the time a person should be asking himself, herself, what does God want from me now? And now? And now? And no end to this question. Why? Because God is creating the whole world just for me now. The Talmud says this. Every single person should say, the whole world was created for me. To do what? To serve God. So that means that every single situation in the world is created for me to serve God. This is the idea of the Baal Shem Tov. This is the way Hasidic thought understands divine providence. Okay. Apparently, this contradicts to what the Rambam says. Why did we get into all this thing? So let's go back a little bit to the verses. One verse. Moshe Rabbeinu, when God was about to destroy everybody and everything because he was so angry with Korach and all the rebellion and so on, Moshe Rabbeinu said, you're the Lord of the spirits of all flesh. You know everything of everybody. All flesh refers even to Korach, of course, even to wicked people. So the question according to the Rambam, if Korach was a wicked person, which actually he was, and therefore he's like an animal, he's like a non-existent thing, God doesn't care about him, why would Moshe Rabbeinu ask God, hey, you know everything of all flesh? What do you mean all flesh? Korach, I don't care if he dies. It doesn't exist to me. It's not important. This is what the Rambam would say if you ask him. So what is accomplishing? What is Moshe Rabbeinu accomplishing by saying this? To the spirits of all flesh. What do you mean all flesh? No. I'm the God of the people that want to talk to me. If you don't want to talk to me, bye-bye. I don't care about you. You don't care about me, I don't care about you. Looks like a childish thing, but this is basically what the Rambam would be saying. Yeah? You don't like me? I don't like you. Okay. And I don't care if you die. Bye. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu accomplishing by saying all of this? All the flesh, and you know, and what is he accomplishing if we go according to the understanding of the Rambam? If you go according to the understanding of the Baal Shem Tov, okay, so yeah, makes sense. Because God knows everything and he cares about everything. Everything is important, including Koirach. So, makes sense what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, but not according to the Rambam. That's why the Rebbe brings this idea of the Mittel Rebbe. And I know I might not make justice to the subject itself, but you should know these ideas that I'm going to explain right now, these are not written in a chapter in itself, in a book in itself, talking about a subject and explaining the details, the different opinions. And this is just like a quote unquote lost line in the middle of an ocean of words. And the Rebbe says, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Very short thing. And the Rebbe grabs this thing and says, wait a second. There's a very deep idea over here that if you just read the Mittel Rebbe just like that, and believe me, he wrote a lot and he spoke a lot, you just miss it. The Rebbe explains like this. Actually, the Mittel Rebbe, and the Rebbe brings the ideas of the Mittel Rebbe. Let's put together the Rambam and the Baal Shem Tov. And then we're going to understand why Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to God, all flesh, you know, all flesh, you know, everything and everybody and so on. I know, you know, and so on. The Mittel Rebbe explains there are two ways of divine supervision. One way is what he calls an inner pnimius, an inner type of supervision, divine supervision. That means that you can see, a person would be able to see the supervision of God, miracles. Like, wow, this is impossible if God is not involved over here. Like, for instance, the earth opening below Koirach for Koirach to die, the word doesn't come out, whatever. No, the earth opening below Koirach, and he falling into the, whatever, Sheol, the perdition, the lost, and so on. That's a miracle. That's not something normal to happen. And definitely not normal after Moshe Rabbeinu just finished saying this. If I'm right, should the earth open below Koirach? The earth opens below Koirach, okay? This is a miracle. That means that there's an inner divine supervision, not invested and concealed in the ways of nature. It's not like the sun coming out every day. We see the sun and we're accustomed to it. And it's okay, it's a miracle also. I know, but we're so accustomed to that, that we don't see it as a miracle. It's a normal thing, it's a natural thing. That's what nature actually means. Those things that we are accustomed to. Nature, we call them nature. And this type of supervision, so to speak, that God is innerly involved with you, and you can see that, and you can feel it, and so on, according to the words of the Rambam, this would only be found on people that attach their intellects to God. The people that are really righteous people and going in the message of Judaism and so on, connected to God, let's call it in a simple way. This type of supervision is found also, this is the novelty of the way the Rebbe understands what the Mittel Rebbe writes. This is found also in wicked people, even in Koirach. However, it's in a concealed way. He doesn't realize. Koirach rebelled against Moshe, against Aaron, against God. And he didn't realize it is God that is giving him life all the time. You're rebelling against the same thing that is giving you life. At the same time that is giving you life, and you're still rebelling. Why? Because again, it's concealed. So every single thing in the world has inner divine supervision, yes. And inner divine supervision means that it's not invested and concealed in the ways of nature, but when a person doesn't behave properly, this factor is concealed. this thing is concealed. You don't realize. You don't see it. Until, I know I'm moving forward maybe too fast, but on purpose, we're going to get back to this again. I'm going to repeat it later. But until Moshe Rabbeinu asks, hey, God, you know everything, all flesh, even Koirach. Why doesn't he call him a human being? Because he was behaving like an animal. So he's called flesh, whatever. He exists. And you know, says Moshe to God. And God answers, yeah, I know. You're right. I know. Even Koirach, I know. And you know what? Everybody's going to know that I know the earth is going to open on his feet and he's going to fall inside. I'm going to repeat this later, but again, let's go back to the Mitra Rebbe. Inner divine supervision is not invested in the ways of nature. It's like a miracle thing. But this only applies in a revealed manner just to the people that attach their intellect in the words of the Rambam to God. It applies also to Koirach, even to wicked people, but in a concealed way. And then you have external divine supervision. What does it mean, external divine supervision? It's a supervision that is invested and concealed in the nature. You don't see it. Nobody sees it. You just see a leaf falling in autumn. Yeah, it's falling one way, rocking in the wind, one way, the other way. Is God involved there? What do you mean, God? There's a wind, and that is a leaf, because it's autumn, and the leaf just fell from the tree, and so on. You don't see God. The sun is coming out every day. Yeah, very nice sun. You see God? I don't see God. I see the sun and the stars and the moon and blah, blah, blah. However, we know God is actually making everything work. That would be what the Baal Shem Tov says. God is on top of every single thing in the world, every single detail in the world and so on. But you don't see it. That's what is called external supervision. With these ideas, again, the Mitra Rebbe put together the Rambam, Maimonides, and the Baal Shem Tov. They're both saying basically the same thing. The only question is, what do you see? What are you conscious of when you open your eyes? I'm conscious of a world. There's a world, the sun is coming, and the leaves are falling because it's autumn, and so on. Okay. Do you see godliness? No. All right. No problem. You're in the level, so to speak, of external divine supervision. You see only nature. However, when the person works and refines itself, himself, herself, and learns Torah and so on, and thinks about God, contemplates, meditates, and blah, 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 then you might fall into inner divine supervision. That means you start... Now, I don't mean seeing, because if you start seeing different and weird things, you might need a doctor, maybe. But at least you start feeling something different is going on. God is watching over me. Somehow I came to this place. And somehow, yeah, I'm learning something out of this place in my service to God. Oh, that means, quote unquote, seeing godliness. Even though you're not seeing God, I don't know, nobody can see God. But at least you're conscious of him all the time. That's the inner divine supervision. And the truth is, that's what Judaism is all about. All the details, all the commandments, and all the sages, and all the books, and deep stuff, and so on, everything falls into one same place. Are you conscious of God or not? And of course, if you're conscious of God, are you serving him or not? What about your life? What are you doing with your life? This is how the Mitra Rebbe again puts together the Rambam and the Baal Shem Tov. Revealed versus concealed. But at the end of the day, God is on top of every single detail of every single creature in the world. Okay. This is what it means, actually. These are the words of the Rambam. He uses these expressions. I will conceal my face. It's a verse. But the concealment only applies to the particular divine supervision. That means the revealed, the inner way of supervision is not, there's no situation in which God removes himself from creation. Chas v'shalom, that would be idolatry. No, at least in a very deep way. But no, there's no situation in which God leaves everything to coincidences and just happened. And again, a piano just fell in your head. What can I do? No, there's no such a thing. Rather, God is on top of everything. The question is it revealed or not? Am I conscious of that or not? To the point that when a person is a wicked person, and this would be following the ideas of the Rambam, God conceals himself even more. He is already concealed because we are in Golos, in exile, and exile spiritually means not to be outside of the land of Israel. It means that we don't see godliness. That's already one, so to speak, one thing that everybody, it applies to everybody. In effect, it affects everybody. But furthermore, it's going to be difficult to find godliness in every single place in the world. Why? Because you decide yourself to separate from God. You don't care about God and so on. That's why a person might think that things just happen. Coincidences or not coincidences, just whatever, luck, lottery. There's no order, there's no architect in the world and so on. A person might think this, but the truth is, that's not the way it is. It's just God concealing himself. Why? Because you don't behave properly. Again, as we said before, you don't like me, I don't like you. Bye-bye. Be well. That means there's a concealment of godliness. Maybe, the Rebbe doesn't say this, it's not found in the text, and maybe I should think about it a little bit more, but at least to add a little bit more pepper to the thing, there was a famous discussion between the Alter Rebbe and the Gaon of Vilna, Rebbe Eliyahu Kramer of Vilna. He was a great sage. Both were great sages, contemporaries, and actually the Alter Rebbe wanted to meet the Gaon of Vilna, and the Gaon of Vilna did not receive him. He just went away from his house when the Alter Rebbe was coming. Ran away, basically. He didn't want to meet the Alter Rebbe. But the point is, there's a teaching of the Arizal. Arizal, a great, great Kabbalist, Mekubal, and so on. He didn't write anything. 1500s, Tzfas, the north of Eretz Israel. So he writes about one word. He came up, basically, with this idea of Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum means contraction. That's what it means. And if you look for Tzimtzum, the artificial intelligence is going to give you pages and pages and pages talking about it. Okay, go read the pages. Sometimes things are right and sometimes things are not right. So it's not so intelligent, but whatever, be careful with that. The point is that there's an argument between the Alter Rebbe and the Gaon of Vilna. Is the Tzimtzum brought down in the writings of the Arizal in Hebrew, Kipshutoi or Lo Kipshutoi? Is literal or is not? What does that mean? Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum means contraction. So when I contract myself, I do like this. I go contracted. I want to be small for whatever reason. So I'm making myself small, contracting myself. If you're going to say, the Gaon of Vilna used to say, if you're going to say that the Tzimtzum is kipshuto, it's literal, that means that God removed himself from certain places in the world. He's just not found there. It could be a garbage can, it could be a Rasha, a wicked person. That's why I'm connecting the ideas. Could be Koirach, like a wicked person, just an example of a wicked person. God is not found there. Whatever, he's alive because, whatever, just has his own life. God is not found there. Tzimtzum Kipshuta, it's literal. And the Alter Rebbe used to say, no way. There's no way, this is found in the second part of Tanya also, no way you can say that the Tzimtzum is Kipshuta is literal. There's no place, he quotes the Zohar, Leisasar Panoim Minei, there's no place void of godliness, of God. Not even a wicked person, not even a garbage can, nothing. On purpose I'm saying garbage can because there was an argument between that, on that subject particularly, between them on that subject. Okay, in any case, interestingly, there's a work by the Rebbe. One of the main students, like I would say the main student of the Gaon of Vilna, was Rav Chaim of Volozhin. And he wrote a book, Nefesh HaChaim. Hasidim don't learn this book. We don't like this guy so much. But whatever, he writes like the Alter Rebbe, not like his teacher, the Gaon of Vilna. But the Rebbe has a whole work, a whole letter, explaining that what Chaim of Volozhin wrote is not really what the same thing as Alter Rebbe is saying. Not really the same. It's better than what his teacher was saying, the Gaon of Vilna, but it's not really what Alter Rebbe says. In any case, going back to Hasidus and to Koirach and to make our lives a little bit easier, we could say that this idea of the Tzimtzum, the contraction, not being literal, means that God is supervising in a particular and detailed way, even Koirach, like this particular part of the presentation. There's particular divine supervision even in wicked people, but it's concealed. Koirach did not realize that. And this is exactly what Moshe was asking from God. If you know, I'm changing the words, but this is what Moshe was asking. If God knows, with particular divine supervision, who sinned, Koirach was the rotten apple, even though it was a wicked person, Koirach. And therefore, your revealed inner supervision is removed, so to speak, concealed. That's a better word. Concealed, not removed. Concealed from Koirach. Koirach didn't realize, and everybody around Koirach also didn't realize. And Koirach was a wicked person. And he was a rich person. He was doing good in life. The famous question, which I'm not going to go into, but just to bring into the minds, why are good people suffering and wicked people have so much success in life? I want to know why. Moshe Rabbeinu also wanted to know why. Because the divine supervision is concealed. You don't see godliness on this person, but it's there anyway. And of course, it's going to be punished at the proper time and so on. That's a problem of God, so to speak. And again, I'm not going to go into that question, because it's a deep and difficult question and no answer to the question. The Talmud itself says that God didn't want to answer Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't understand it. Moshe didn't understand. What do you want from me? So, going back to this, Moshe Rabbeinu was asking God, you know who sinned. Don't come to me and say, like the Rambam, we would understand the Rambam saying, God doesn't know what Koirach is doing. So God he can't punish just Koirach, has to punish everybody because, I don't know, whatever, everybody's a wicked person, people here, so let's punish everybody. Don't say this, said Moshe Rabbeinu to Hashem. You know, why don't reveal this for everybody? So everybody should know that even though Koirach is a wicked person, you anyway know. You did not remove yourself from him, you just concealed. Why punish those who committed an offense? Going back to the verse that I mentioned in the beginning, they did not sin on purpose and so on. They were just drawn by Koirach and his ideas. And God answers, in the words of Rashi and the Midrashim, God answers, yes. Moshe is saying, the words of Rashi, Moshe is saying, you know who's the sinner. And God answers, you have spoken well. Yes, you're right. I know who sinned, and I shall make known who has sinned. And that's what happened. The earth opened under Koirach and so on. The story we know. So, what did we learn, basically? We learned that we thought that there's an argument between the Rambam and the Baal Shem Tov regarding divine providence. And that argument can be seen, so to speak, in Koirach. If so, we don't understand, according to the opinion of the Rambam, that God removed, so to speak, that's what we thought, removed his supervision from Koirach. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu say, going back to the, I didn't copy it. Okay. Going back to the verse, why did Moshe Rabbeinu say that you're the God of the Lord of the spirits of all flesh and everybody, and you know everything and so on? According to the Rambam, doesn't make any sense to ask this because God himself decided to remove himself from Koirach. And God basically answered, "You're right. I know." So God was given, so to speak, don't take this literally, God was saying, I hold like the Mittler Rebbe. It's not Rambam against the Baal Shem Tov. They're basically just saying two perspectives of the same thing. They're not arguing over here. The truth is that I know everything. Even in the moment of sin, I know also. And I will make everybody know that I know. In this particular case of Koirach, God decided to reveal this inner supervision that he has upon all creation. God decided to make it known. That's the words of Rashi. And that's why the earth opened under Koirach and so on.